Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the podcast for December the 21st in the year of our Lord 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the greatest peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Wow. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The checks and balances is one of the great common themes of this broadcast. Most folks don't understand the checks and balances. They don't understand the Constitution. That's why we need to bring it forward to your attention as one of the great solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to Returning to the Rule of Law. Welcome for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, as opposed to revolution and meltdown and societal dysfunction. Welcome to the idea that family is the fundamental unit of society, not government. Welcome to common sense and reality, ladies and gentlemen. All right, a quick recap. Friday, we were too busy on the broadcast to do the previous day's notes. So I got Thursday's recap and Friday's recap I'll get to really quickly. On Thursday, we had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. We talked about our Honest Money Report, and we talked about Donald Trump impeached. They say the first article of impeachment, abuse of power, the second, obstruction of Congress. Bottom line, folks, I don't even know what those terms mean. Abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. You know what? All bureaucrats and professional do-gooders almost seem to abuse power literally every day, right? So I don't know what that even means. Obstruction of Congress, what does that mean? You don't want to cooperate with your own prosecution? I mean, it doesn't make any sense at this point. There are three branches of government, and if you have a redress of grievances, Congress, where you're supposed to go is the courts. No one went to the courts at all, leaving that branch of government completely out of it. Not that I necessarily think they need to be involved, but, you know, that's the problem, is we want to run to all the wrong solutions. We want to draw all the wrong conclusions. Nancy Pelosi, believe it or not, says House may withhold impeachment articles, delaying the Senate trial, according to the Washington Post. People are running around, running to all the wrong conclusions on this. They're saying it's unconstitutional, and Nancy this, and you know somebody that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and this is unconstitutional, and that's unconstitutional, and man, this has already happened, or that hasn't, and this means that, and that doesn't mean that, and they're debating, in my opinion, the simplest things and making them so complex. They're overthinking everything to the point of beyond ridiculous. They're overthinking and parsing every word and every phrase and debating and talking about and expressing, quote, professional opinions. That's interesting. Professional opinions, a contradiction of terms in and of itself. I digress. I'm saying that, look, this is very simple stuff. I'll get to it as the broadcast unfolds to make my point, okay? We talked about our Honest Money Report with Brian Rust. We talked about black voters' approval of Donald Trump is increasing big time, and it might just be the deciding factor in 2020. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. By the way, we talked about Merry Christmas. Janet Ballard, a Cracker Barrel waitress, she got blessed with a $1,200 tip. And here's the cool part. All the people involved in giving the tip and receiving the tip in this whole fantastic story, may God have the glory. What a cool story, huh? We also talked about our best Christmas gift since Jesus. Lauren Chalk find out she's pregnant 9 days before giving birth. Memphis, Tennessee, she gave birth. It's a long story of why she didn't realize she's pregnant, but it makes sense. Anyway, she's super happy and again saying, what a blessing to have a child. What a miracle. What a Christmas gift. Again, another cool story. We also talked about Ford to add 3,000 jobs in Detroit. Investing $1.45 billion on building new vehicles. That's a phenomenally good news story as well. Hour two, we talked about, can good sleep patterns offset genetic susceptibility to heart disease and stroke? And we talked about it, and the answer is yes. We think it can make a big difference. We also talked about U.S. obesity rates. They claim that half of America will be obese within 10 years, according to CNN. interesting thing is they're going to try to mandate all kinds of eating habits. I think we just need to expose the truth about the chemicals in the foods, the addictive properties that most companies put in their packaged foods, and we need to move to a simpler life, folks. But who's listening to me, huh? By the way, New York anti-gun group demands Hasbro quit selling what they call assault-style Nerf guns to children. I don't even know what an assault-style gun is, okay? Guns in the hands of bad guys are assault guns. Certainly if used in the military and they need to lead an assault to protect God, family, and country, maybe. But you know what? A gun doesn't know whether it's an assault weapon or not, does it? And the people using the gun, their heart might be to protect. If I grab my rifle that happens to look like it's an assault gun, they want to politicize that and turn that into an assault word. But I might use it as a rape me not and prevent somebody from raping my wife and daughters, right? Don't tell me it's an assault style gun. And this idea about taking guns away from children, look, we're talking about Nerf guns, folks. We're talking about a toy designed to help children understand guns. And if you teach properly with those simple tools, you know, eventually you could teach people proper gun safety and usage, and it's all depending on who's doing it and what their intent is, huh? Mom claims daughter choked on zipper hidden in Walmart pie. That's a non-starter, isn't it? I don't know what's going on with that, but why is that a nationally recognized news story? That's what I wonder. Student Saifullah Khan is the guy's name. He's a student. He sues for $110 million after being cleared of rape charges by the jury, just expelled anyway. Wait a minute. Innocent until proven guilty? And, well, they were proven that he wasn't guilty in this case, and now I don't get it. We're starting to lose our views in America about what's right and wrong. The founding fathers would rather have a lot of criminals go to protect innocence rather than the other way around, folks. Bronx girl, her name is Carol Sanchez. She was seen kidnapped in a video. Well, she admits it was a hoax. That's according to professionals and the New York Times. There you have it. It was a big hoax. She didn't want to go back to Honduras. And so she wanted to ditch her mom, and she thought a kidnapping would be a great way to do it, but the con got exposed. Dump Netflix, ladies and gentlemen. Movie mocks Jesus at the most holy time of year. Insinuates Jesus is gay. It's just perversion at Netflix, folks. Shut down your account. We got to fight in the culture war, that's for sure. SCOTUS finds the right to destroy cities. Ben Shapiro decries decision to prohibit law enforcement from policing homelessness. Kind of an interesting story. You know, I don't know why we have the homelessness we have in America, folks. Whatever happened to love thy neighbor as thyself? Whatever happened to the idea that we are our brother's keeper? Whatever happened to the idea that we should clothe the naked and feed the hungry? And, well, churches try to do that, and government shuts them down, folks. We got government with way too many commandments and way too much power and not enough focus on God and his simple commandments and, well, God's hands. We the people serving in God's kingdom to build up his kingdom on the earth and protect to take care of one another, huh? Nearly a quarter of America's 500,000 homeless people live in California. And a new report shows that the problems in Oakland, California are worse than it is even in Mexico City, folks. Wow. Our prayers are with the homeless, folks. We can and should do something about this, but we're stuck on depending on government, aren't we? We're stuck on government regulation and gridlock due to government. So government's involved where they ought not be. President Trump's anti-Semitism executive order, according to Star Parker, counters two claims about the move that clarifies the Civil Rights Act. I don't know that I'm for all this. I don't want abuse of anybody. Okay, I believe we're all God's children, right? And we should act like it and treat each other like it. But if people want to be anti-Semitic, if people want to be hostile, if people want to be hate-filled, I don't like it, but I believe people have the right to their own conscience. Okay, I don't think we can legislate or executive order our way out of that, right? But we can teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is love unfeigned, which is charity above all, which is following the Prince of Peace. I think we can lead by example. I think we can by long-suffering and persuasion and patience, and we can change hearts and minds, can't we, folks? Will you help us? That was Thursday's broadcast. Moving on to Friday's recap. We had our guest on, Michael Hirsch, and he's the Virginia State Chair. Virginia calls it Watchman on the Wall. But it's a ministry of the Family Research Council, and it's watchmanpastors.org all across the country, folks. And they are standing, in this case, for the Second Amendment. We had on Michael and our guest, Richard Mack. And we first talked about this $1.4 trillion fiasco. It's a spending package, two votes on separate measures. And the Senate passed it, the House passed it, and sadly now Donald Trump has signed it. A $1.4 trillion budget-busting, omnibus spending bill that is out of control. Donald Trump promised he would never sign such a fiasco again. But a year later, shame on the Donald. It's like a repeat 365 days later almost. Trump claimed he would never sign a spending bill like this one again. But now Trump's going to do it to avert the shutdown. You know what? We shouldn't be having a shutdown force in the first place. Senator Mike Lee speaks out and says, these spending bills are a fiscal dumpster fire. Boy, is he right on that. Rand Paul speaking out about that big time as well. The bulk of the 2 hours yesterday, though, was not focused on the budget-busting meltdown. Shame on the Donald. It was focused on the Second Amendment sanctuary movement growing in Virginia. 95 Second Amendment sanctuaries and more to come. And they say they're going to bring out the National Guard. We might have a constitutional crisis in Virginia. Let's talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheep herder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So Friday's broadcast, we're doing a recap here. Friday's broadcast was a two-hour special interview. And we talked about in Virginia, we're almost on the border of a constitutional crisis. Look, the governor and the belligerent folks at the state level want to just crack down and violate our right to keep and bear arms. And the counties and cities and municipalities are saying, we're not doing that. And it's an epic battle. It's so bad that the cities and counties and people are talking about calling out the National Guard to stop the governor and others from going door to door taking away guns. Okay, in Virginia, it's so bad that one of the sheriffs, Scott Jenkins, says he will deputize residents if gun control laws pass. All right, now, a lot of the folks in the fight against the gun grabbers are making some very bold claims that I believe are accurate and spot on. Here they are. The American War for Independence began over an arbitrary British attempt to disarm the people of Lexington. That's what they're saying. Don't you dare consider disarming us. Second, opponents of the Second Amendment will focus on a, quote, well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That's true, right? But they forget that the necessity of a well-regulated militia is made possible by the ability of the second half of the Second Amendment, folks, which basically says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So they like to talk about this idea that, oh, you know, you just can't have a militia if you want to. I agree with that. They're half right, but they're half wrong. Here's what I mean. You're right. You can't just have a militia just materialize out of nowhere with no head, no tie to proper rule of government, especially when you have the rule of law and government in place, right? Now, in the societal breakdown, it might be a different discussion. But in the meantime, you know, you got to have authority. That's the question. Who has the authority? Where does authority come from? However, you know what? Whether you want a militia or not, whether you agree we should constitute a militia at this time or not, or call for one or not, and who has the authority to call for it, those are fair questions. But the second part of the Second Amendment is critical. The people should have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. That's nothing more than a codification at the government level saying, government, keep your hands off. This is a God-given, inalienable right. And they wisely point this out. Okay, the right to keep and bear arms is a natural. It's intended to deter tyrants and enemies, both foreign and domestic, folks. That's important to understand. The Second Amendment was meant to ensure that the people possessed arms matching those that might be used against them. That's another critical point in this discussion to clearly understand. The Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is not just for hunting or not just, you know, for sport or whatever. The Second Amendment was aimed clearly at stopping tyrants, leaders who seek to infringe that right. Invariably, their goal is to control the people. This must not stand. So I'm telling you, the epic battle is happening in the state of Virginia right now. And it's a serious battle indeed. Our prayers are that Donald Trump will do what he promised and get rid of gun-free zones first day. Well, he's already missed the first day. It's 3 years ago, right? But every day we wake up can be the first day. It's the first day we're going to stand for the Second Amendment. Donald, come on, baby. Get her done, buddy. While everybody else is sleeping for Christmas, you can stand for the sacred cause of liberty, my friend. We implore you, we beg you, we encourage you, we exhort you, whatever word I can use to entice you, to invite you, to stand with you, to support you. Okay, let's get it done. This is the first day we defend the Second Amendment. Come on, Donald. But I digress. I'm just telling you that, listen, this is critical. And this battle, hey, if government in Virginia tries to move to take the guns, they will have a problem on their hands. Now, I'm not threatening anything. Let's be very clear. I'm highlighting from afar. How far am I away from Virginia? 2,000 miles? Something like that? Okay. I'm not in any way encouraging the use of arms or a civil war or whatever you want to call it. Not in the least. I'm merely saying federal government and state governments do not push the issue. You do not have authority. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the intent of the Founding Fathers was clear. And I think that the folks that want to defend our right to keep and bear arms who are saying clearly, hey, listen, don't forget this is how the battle started for our independence in the first place. King George was out of line, over the top, abusive, and we tolerated a lot of that abuse. But you know what? Once they came to take away the guns and the ability for us to defend ourselves, we have no choice but to defend. So government, don't be the aggressor. Do not do it. Stand down, back off. And believe it or not, I use the 2014 Ammon Bundy situation at the Bundy Ranch as a clear case in point. The government was pointing guns at innocent, unarmed citizens. The government escalated the violence and got belligerent. And the people have seen this before in the Randy Weaver case, and in the Branch Davidian case, and many other cases, and they said, you know what, we're not going to let this escalate that far. So the people rallied to the cause and went to the Bundy Ranch to defend innocent citizens against the hostility of the government. Well, the government eventually, thank heavens for them, wiser heads prevailed, and they backed down. There was not a fight. But government lied and claimed they never pointed guns at people. That was a lie. Government did point guns at people. Government did withhold exculpatory evidence. Low level and high level and everybody in between, government officials literally lied and perjured themselves and withheld evidence and everything else. And so we go on, but I'm telling you that we stopped a slaughter then. And I pray we can stop one now. And what government needs to be reminded of is, hey, you don't have authority to take away the guns. The ability, the right to keep and bear arms and shall not be infringed, government, you don't have any authority there. You've been clearly told so. And when you violate that authority, you are going to get pushback. And the more hostile, the more aggressive you push it, you're going to get opposition. There is opposition in all things, and expect it. Now, I don't want it. That's why I'm begging the government to stop right now. That's why those folks that went to the Bundy Ranch said, please stop, please stop, please stop. And then people escalated. When the government started pointing guns at people, then people started pointing guns back. Lay down your weapons, federal government, is what I would say. Lay down your weapons, state of Virginia. Lay down your force. Stop, 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 and quit forcing. Realize there are checks and balances in a constitutional republic. There is the moral high ground, and I beg you to take it. Okay, let's be very clear. I'm not looking for a fight of any kind. But we had these incredible folks on for 2 hours yesterday highlighting what's going on in Virginia. It's kind of interesting. In the morning, we had that on. Later in the evening, I saw a Fox News thing. They're like, hey, we got a big problem going on in Virginia. I'm like, man, glad you're aboard, Fox. You must be listening to Liberty Roundtable Live to get your talking points, huh? But I'm telling you, this is a serious issue. And you say, Sam, this is just a small, you know, breakout issue. It's a lot of bluster, a lot of whatever. It's not going to amount to much. I pray you're correct. But I hear militias being organized in other states as well. And I hear the country getting divided more and more and more over the Republican-Democrat divide, over the backing or not backing of Donald Trump divide. I mean, there's so many divides in America that I'm afraid that it's not going to take much to cement some of those divides as permanent. And as it becomes permanent, then people stake out very extreme positions on all sides, and pretty soon civility goes out the window. And before you know it, we've escalated possibly beyond the point of return. People's pride won't let them lay down their weapons, set aside their hatred, set aside their anger, sit down at the round table of discussions. Before you know it, that's off the table. We're beyond discussions, they'll say. We're beyond working this out, they'll say. We need to secede. We need an Article 5 convention. We need to pick up our weapons. We need to, I don't want this to escalate, folks. I'm begging for it not to. Remember, I'm the guy that every single day, 6 days a week, two times a day, because I say it almost every hour, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm going to advocate for. And people say, oh, Sam, that's just because you're too wimpy. You can't handle the fight. You know, all you are is talk. You're not really an action guy. And my response to that is wrong, wrong, and wrong again. I'm plenty much, or plenty an action guy. But I understand the horrors of war. And I don't want us to get there. So as long as I have breath in my lungs, and long as we have a peaceful solution, I'm going to advocate for it. And as long as we don't have to defend ourselves from a tyrannical government, I say we have a chance to sit down at the table for discussions. When government gets too belligerent and pushes too far, we may have no choice. I get that. But we're not there yet, ladies and gentlemen. And let's not be the aggressors to escalate it to get there, please. Let's be the kind leaders for peaceful solutions, by praying hard and then getting up and going to work and following the Prince of Peace. Shall we? This is Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The U.S. is watching North Korea for signs of a possible missile launch or nuclear test in the coming days that officials are referring to as a Christmas present. A significant launch or test would mean the end of North Korea's self-imposed moratorium and raise tensions in the region. It would also be a major blow to one of the Trump administration's major foreign policy initiatives, the drive to get North Korea back to negotiations to eliminate its nuclear weapons and missiles. President Trump touts record military spending and the formation of the Space Force as he signs a $338 billion Pentagon budget.
The 2020 National Defense Authorization Act is about making sure our warfighters have the tools, resources, and equipment you need to fight and to win, all the time to win.
This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
At Cape Canaveral, Boeing's new Starliner capsule ended up in the wrong orbit after lifting off. Jim Bridenstine is NASA's administrator.
When the timing was off, the spacecraft didn't know exactly where it was in the sequence. And when that happened, it believed, it seems, and again, this is all very, very early, but it seems like it believed that it was doing an orbital insertion burn when it wasn't.
The president turned to Twitter to criticize Christianity Today magazine that was founded by the late Reverend Billy Graham. He was angry because of an editorial calling for his removal from office. Mark Galley is the magazine's editor-in-chief, and he tells NPR,
I suspect that if I was in a room with him, we could have a very amiable and delightful conversation. But he does display characteristics that I think, as a leader of a great nation like the United States, are deeply problematic.
Graham's son, Franklin, who now heads his father's ministry, and his daughter are both critical of the editorial. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, as I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be a divide everywhere in our country. Even the Christians are battling it out now. All right, Christianity Today really attacking Donald Trump, saying he's completely immoral and unfit to serve. Christian News Wire and an official with Christian television network TVN responds to Christianity Today editorial. Billy Graham trashing. I'm just telling you, even the Christians are divided big time in our country, folks. And I think the divisions are where we need to stop. We need to sit down and say, you know what? We can have opinions. We can have beliefs. We can obey the dictates of our own consciences, but you know what? We don't have to take it to the streets. We don't have to take it to hostilities. And that's a little bit where I'm afraid people are too liberal, too extreme with their language. Okay? Now, let me point out a couple of things regarding impeachment that I think is critical, because everybody's saying everything about this everywhere. You say, come on, Sam, a lot of people don't even care. You're right. I get it. But in the public square, in the public arena, on the news, in the political arena, in D.C., wherever you want to say, it seems to me that everybody's got an opinion and everybody's expressing it. And I want to back up on a couple of things. So first off, let's be very clear. I don't want this to be eclipsed by the impeachment. Donald Trump, shame on you, sir. Trump signs spending package on the flight from Washington to Florida to avert a shutdown, according to Reuters. So we're talking about $1.4 trillion in spending. Donald Trump signs on an airplane. He's so busy leaving town, just like all your bureaucrats are, that they're going to sign on the way out of town to spend $1.4 $1,000. He broke his promise on that flight, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump said he would never spend another bill like that. Oh, Sam, it's okay. They broke it up into two bills so that he wouldn't have to. Look, you can break it up into 1,000 bills. They're being passed by the House, the Senate, signed by the president, literally all at once. It's one big, massive spending package. They just divided it to play games with you. But I say shame on the Donald. Shame on the Donald. Shame on the Senate. Shame on the House. All of them for this budget-busting legislation. We should be passing bills one at a time based on the constitutionality of that bill. Okay, based on the ease of understanding of that bill. Is it constitutional? Do we have authority? Is it legitimately the federal government's responsibility? We should be asking these questions, and we should be fiscally responsible. Rand Paul and Mike Lee are the only two that I hear speaking out boldly against it. Okay, Donald should be, but he's not. Donald's too busy defending himself from this goofy impeachment stuff, which I believe is the distraction they want to prevent a government shutdown, to prevent us from constitutionally discussing real issues and real things. So believe it or not, I believe impeachment is the big elephant in the room. Entertainment, theatrics, reality, TV show going on right now to distract from real things like spending $1.4 trillion. Okay, that should never happen. Let me explain why. First off, we don't even know what's in the 2,200 plus bill. There's no way these people could have read it. There's no way the president read it before signing it. I guarantee it. And Donald Trump last year, a year ago, complained about these very points. This year, he's strangely silent. Why? Because they've got him distracted with impeachment. But the Republicans, the Democrats, and everybody threw in everything, including the kitchen sink this time, to a $1.4 billion spending package. And the Donald signs it, according to Reuters, on the plane, getting the heck out of Dodge, out of town. What a disgrace. Well, let's move to the distraction now, because that's where everybody's minds are. They should be on this $1.4 trillion spending fiasco. Okay? Because 90% of the shenanigans in government would stop if we could just defund. Okay? If you want to bring the government back to its constitutional base, to its roots, it's going to start with defunding all unconstitutionality. But no one's even discussing that except for, say, Rand Paul. He wanted to cut 1% spending, and nobody would even go for that. So while they spend us into oblivion, I submit to you that this spending bill is a national security crisis. When we are in debt that much, $23-plus trillion and growing by the second, and they're too busy with political theater on impeachment to discuss it, so busy that the president has to sign it to avert a government shutdown on a plane from Washington, D.C. to Florida? Shame on all of them. All right, meanwhile, let's move to the distraction. Representative Jim Clyburn says, if it were me, the House would never send impeachment articles to the Senate. Now, that's an interesting statement. But you know what? That isn't a very strange statement. And everybody's debating this. So Nancy's not wanting to send articles of impeachment to the Senate. Her claim is we got to put managers in place before we send it. We don't know who those managers are going to be yet. And we certainly want to make sure that the Senate is going to do right by this impeachment proceeding. We can't have them not be fair. And my response is a lot more simple than most. A lot of people are going to talk about the political nuances. Well, they've impeached by vote, but they haven't sent the articles of impeachment to the Senate, so it doesn't qualify as impeachment yet until it gets sent to the Senate. Others say, no, it qualifies as impeachment. You're playing with words, and the battle goes on. But let me be very simple and very clear. All right? The House of Representatives has the sole power of impeachment. Hey, they have the power. They collected all the evidences they saw. They put it before their people. Now, the way they got there, in my opinion, broke all kinds of laws. Secret star chamber hearings, denying people to speak on both, you know, for and against. And they denied a lot of the reality checks that should have taken place there. And in my opinion, they violated the law in many cases along the way. Nevertheless, they put together two articles of impeachment, as vague as they are. I don't think they rise to the level of crimes and high crimes and misdemeanors at all. That's a whole nother topic. But suffice it to say, they did bring up everything. put it down, wrote it down, let everybody view it. You can read it if you want. It's out on the internet. And they voted and said, yes, we believe that he should be impeached. So, by the way, the president is impeached, folks. Why? Because the House has the sole power of impeachment. They don't need to send articles anywhere to impeach. They make up their own rules in the House, and they passed it, like it or not. You could say fair and square. Now you say, well, Sam, it wasn't fair in the getting there. I agree. But at the end of the day, the vote was fair and square. More yeas than nays, and they got it, and they impeached. Done. Now, the House can decide if they want to send it to the Senate or not. Let's say the House never sends it to the Senate, ever. The president has still been impeached. But maybe, just maybe, think about this from a constitutional perspective. Congress has the House of Representatives has the sole power of impeachment. They already took care of their power. They're done. Now, let's say they never transmit these articles of impeachment to the Senate for, listen carefully, the Senate has the exclusive authority to try the impeachment. So really, all you've got right now is, hey, guys, we believe the president's guilty of stuff. The House says we're going to impeach the president. We're going to slap him on the butt and say, you can't do that kind of crap. Don't do that anymore. But let's say they never send it to the Senate. Remember, let me make this very, very, very clear. Who has exclusive authority on the trial of the president for the impeachment that took place? The Senate. So if they never send articles of impeachment, they never send their impeachment to the Senate, then there is no trial. Now, let me make this very clear. Let me back you into this because folks just can't get it. Even the professors that are supposedly collegiate experts, they can't get it. Look, President Trump is innocent until proven guilty. Do you agree with that fundamental reality in America? And I don't care if they think he's guilty and vote for impeachment and they impeach him or not. There is no trial if they don't send it over. And if there's no trial, maybe they change their mind. Maybe Nancy and maybe Representative Jim Clyburn and others realize they made a mistake. They got political fever. They got swamp monster fever, whatever they did. And they, you know, went and impeached the president and they shouldn't have. And they're sorry about it. And they feel horrible. And they decide never to send the articles of impeachment for trial. So there is no trial. That means the president's innocent until proven guilty. And it'll go down as a huge misstep by these people that voted for impeachment. Okay? That's okay. The Constitution never says by law they have to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate. It never says they have to appoint, managers of the impeachment or whatever you want to say, attorneys to help try it from the House side. That's all House and Senate rules. Well, the House and Senate can change their own rules any day they want to. That means nothing. The Constitution doesn't clarify. All the Constitution says is the House has exclusive impeachment power. They have that power. They already, got their crap together, so to speak, and they reviewed it, and they said, good, we're going to impeach, and they voted, and they impeached. But there's nothing that says that it has to continue from here. There is no trial. Therefore, the president is innocent until proven guilty. And I submit to you, and I don't mean to be too bold and braggadocious here, but I submit to you that I'm sparring with some of the best minds in the world. Some of the best constitutional experts and attorneys and law professors about this kind of stuff. I submit that I'm right. You check it out. There's nothing that says they have to transmit it to the Senate. There's no criminal activity or constitutional violations if they never send it, is there?
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voting.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
So I'm telling you right now, I'm sparring with some of the best minds in the world on this impeachment idea. And some are saying, hey, man, you know what? If the president doesn't send articles of impeachment, if the House doesn't send articles of impeachment on Trump, I'm sorry, then there's no impeachment yet. You got to send the articles and you got to have these managers and you got to have a trial in the Senate. And no, that isn't true, folks. That isn't true at all. Go read your supreme law. It just says that the House has impeachment authority, period. And they do, and they did. They impeached the president. They voted to impeach him. That's done. But understand, impeachment basically equates to nothing more than a censure if they don't pass the articles of impeachment along, because there is no trial. That's all. They're just saying, look, we think you're a bad guy and we voted to impeach you, but then we changed our mind for whatever reason. We never sent the articles of impeachment over. A lot of people are saying that's criminal. A lot of people are saying, wait a minute, what about a speedy trial? What about, well, if there's no trial, you don't need to worry about being speedy. Right? If there's no trial, you don't need a speedy one, do you? See, that's the point. Now you say, well, Sam, what if they wait 2 years? What if they wait till right after the president gets reelected in 2020, which he will? And then, hey, you know what? They, move the articles of impeachment and just send them on over. Then the Senate can say, we're the trial guys. We're going to look at this thing. And we're going to determine, you know what? If it was a national security concern, if the Donald truly did break the law, as you guys claim, he misused his power and he obstructed Congress and he did all these things, and you wait for a year to send it over to us, you must not think it's very serious. And we don't think that it rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors at all. We're not going to convict. Boom, done. President was impeached. He was not convicted. See, folks, you don't understand. The Constitution doesn't lay out all the details and all the nuances. And everybody wants to apply these nuances and details to something, which I think they're just taking their own political license, if you will, to say, I believe this and I believe that and I think this and I think that. They're wrong. Okay? An impeachment is the exclusive power, the sole power of the House. They determine if the president's been impeached or not, right? I don't determine it. You don't determine it. Larry over there, the professor, the man in the moon doesn't determine it. Congress, the House does. And they say that he's impeached. The majority says he's impeached. They voted. Okay, let's be clear. Now you can say, well, there is no trial yet. It has not been formalized. Okay, you can use whatever word you want to. But I think Nancy and Jim are realizing what a snafu this has become. They realize they're melting down in the polls. They realize they've overreached. Okay, but the pendulum swings back hard, folks. Jim Clyburn says, if it were me, the House would never send articles of impeachment to the Senate. What does that mean? It means he believes it's nothing more than a censure at this point. And you know what? We don't think it should go any further. Nancy's dragging her feet. Call it what you will. If there's no trial, the president is innocent until proven guilty. And if there really are high crimes and misdemeanors justifying true impeachment and a trial in the Senate pushing for conviction, then it's up to those folks in the House to push for that conviction. And if they don't want to push for the conviction, they must not think it's a big deal. They must not think the president's guilty of too much. And if they do think he's guilty of a lot, but they're not willing to push for conviction, then you got to ask those folks in the House, why do you believe the president? And this is the ultimate question. I'm going to ask all these law professors and all these TV pundits and everybody, if you think that the impeachment was necessary, if you believe the president is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, why aren't you pushing for a trial and a conviction? And if you're not pushing for that, you must not be very serious. And so I'm saying if voters truly understood the reality of this, the constitutionality of this, the common sense of the points that I'm making, then you would say, remove those Congress critters in the House who voted for impeachment, who do not think it's, they think it's a big enough deal to vote for impeachment, but not a big enough deal to send to the House and push for conviction. Why is that? And the only conclusion you can come to is because it's political for these people. They want to get it, they want to extract as much pound of flesh out of the Donald as they can on the political table of public opinion, but they know they don't have anything, and they know as soon as it gets sent to the Senate, there will not be a conviction, and therefore the president will have proven his innocence. Well, let's say this, the Senate will prove innocence of Donald, and the House will get egg all over their face for erroneously impeaching the president for political purposes. That's how it'll go down. So we need to make the House representatives who pushed for impeachment so hard. It was such a critical, we got to do it now. We even got to do it before Christmas, by golly. It's vital. And Turley, that professor, said, you know what? You've got a thin file on impeachment here. Don't do it. And they pushed and did it anyway. It was a hurry up. Now it's a hurry up and wait. How come? And I think that the voters need to literally, this is the last check and balance, the voters, right? The voters, a constitutional republic is what we have, but there is a democratic part of this. The voters, the last check, we the people, the government works for us, all of them do. Pelosi and Nadler and Jim Clyburn and Nancy Pelosi and all these guys, right? Mitch McConnell, all of them work for us. And at the end of the day, we need to punish these House representatives who all hurry up and waited. They voted for impeachment. It was critical that we stop the president from his abuse of power and his obstruction of Congress. It is critical. Do it before Christmas. And now it's a, well, we don't really want to send it to the Senate. We don't think that they're going to be fair. Well, the House wasn't fair. That's clear. This is as partisan as it gets. That's a problem. But I say, hey, never send it to the Senate. Just dump your articles of impeachment that you thought were so critical. Let history document how abusive of power the extremely partisan Congress really was, and let it go down in history as never, ever, ever do that again. If it doesn't rise to the bar of high crimes and misdemeanors, don't ever do that again, Congress. That was so politically manipulative and so dishonest and so immoral and so partisan. Don't ever do that again. And I think that it needs to stand like that. That's fine. But there's no criminal activity if they don't send articles of impeachment to the Senate. Okay, now there's a Democrat witness that says Trump's not impeached yet. Serious problem if articles remain in limbo. See, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that headline at all. Okay, why don't I? Because there's nothing in the Constitution that says they must send articles of impeachment. There's no law that says they have to push for trial. Say they admit the errors of their ways. We really shouldn't have impeached the president. We got caught up in this political pandering, this divisive, we shouldn't have done it. We're sorry. Well, you know what? Let them back away from impeachment if they choose. Yeah, we impeached him, but we shouldn't have. That was a misfire by extremists in Congress who were so blinded by their hatred of the Donald, their, what do they call that thing? Trump derangement syndrome? Right? They were so blinded by Trump derangement syndrome, they just had to move forward regardless of the evidence, regardless of the lack thereof. And they did. Let that go down and be an egg on Congress's face for being so extreme. But we don't need to send articles of impeachment. Let them die right there. There's no trial. And if we don't bring it to a trial, we must not be serious about the allegations, right? Donald wants a full-blown trial. He wants to drag witnesses out and make it a very public deal, just like they did in the House. Let them do it. If they want to back away, let them. But I say that we don't even need the Senate for this. But I disagree with the Democrat witness that says Trump's not impeached. He is impeached. Congress, the House, has the sole power of impeachment. They did it. He's impeached. whether we send those articles for trial or not. If we don't send it for trial, I say the president is not guilty. They're not even willing to push for a trial. That just proves the innocence of the president. Now, doesn't it? All right. Now, Warren, in the last debate in the Democrat side, this again shows how extreme these people are. Warren says Trump would step on a kitty, a cute little kitten, to get something done if he had to. Well, again, now we're back to this political theater stuff. These Democrats are so psychotic, so unhinged, so belligerently extreme, so filled with hatred and partisan politics, to where they literally resort to, we're going to impeach the president by vote in the House, but we're not going to send it for trial. In the meantime, we're going to let our next presidential candidate, one of the top contenders, I might add, say Trump would step on a little cute kitten to get something done. Wow. If they push for impeachment, but yet don't send articles of impeachment for trial, sounds like they're stepping on a lot of kittens, aren't they? Donald's the big kitten they're stepping on, isn't he? But it doesn't change the fact that, where is Elizabeth? Is she a senator in the House? Wow. Maybe she should demand the articles of impeachment roll over to the Senate if it warrants. Warren warrants. Okay, all I'm saying is, look at that. Right now, Mark Levin, well-known talk show host, supposedly political constitutional expert, Mark Levin says Mitch McConnell should immediately nullify impeachment. Well, there's nothing to nullify. Okay, all the House did was say, we think Donald's guilty of these things, and here they are. We voted and we said so. Wow, so they slapped Donald and they said, you're a bad boy. We don't like what you did. But if they never send articles of impeachment to the Senate for trial, then they don't believe there's a trial necessary. Why? Because the president is innocent until proven guilty. No one's proved the president guilty of anything. Why do I know that? Because we haven't even had a trial yet. How can he be guilty if there's not been a trial? Let me say that again, because I need to be very clear. I know I'm repeating myself, but this is critical. People don't get it. How is the president guilty of anything if he has not had a trial and has not had a conviction? The answer is he's not guilty of anything. There has been no trial. There has been no conviction. Mark Levin, you don't get it, my friend. Mitch McConnell doesn't need to nullify anything. Mitch just needs to say, if you don't want a trial on this, fine. Dismiss it. Look, they do that all the time. Doesn't the prosecution oftentimes, when they don't have enough evidence, go back and say, can you cop a plea or can you do this or that because we don't want to go to trial? Don't they take trials off the table all the time? Let them take this trial off the table. Donald is innocent. Sorry they were so blinded with hatred that they just impeached for no reason. Let that be a message to Congress to never do that again. But Levin discussed how Speaker Nancy Pelosi's brazen, unconstitutional act of unilaterally sitting on the articles of impeachment, and he laid out a plan for McConnell to stop it. But where's the unconstitutionality? Okay, I believe in the innocent until proven guilty idea. No one's proven guilty, Donald guilty of anything. And Pelosi knows it. That's why she doesn't want to send the articles of impeachment. Confronting and questioning your accuser. President Trump never got the chance to do that. Right? Knowing all the evidence against you. He never got that. Defending yourself, including raising objections and calling witnesses to speak for you. None of those things have happened. The opportunity to be represented by counsel. A speedy, full and fair trial. These fundamental ideas of fairness, and I mentioned due process, none of them have been done. Well, Nancy realizes it as she gets cold feet. We don't need to send articles of impeachment. We need to let Congress know they should never behave so partisan and so hate-filled ever again. Let the history books be replete with that failed reality. Never send the impeachment articles to the Senate. Never have a trial. Because the evidence flat out isn't there. Donald is an innocent man.